Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football inclusive.
Back at it again. You know how we do it each and every Sunday morning, 8:30 to 10, right here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. I am your host, Rick Ferratello. We're bringing it to you live from New York City. And with me today, I have two very special guests. If you don't know who they are, I'm about to tell you who they are. That's right, baby. Get down on the train to the Fantasy Football Championship. First up, we got Rostradamus Ross Mandel. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Rick. The Giants don't play. My team can't lose today.
And fresh out of church, we got the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. What's crack-a-lacking?
Another glorious Sunday. Let's go Jets.
Week 10 holiday. It's here, folks. 8 more weeks. How you doing? You on the top or you crawling for your life? Either way, we're going to help you bring fantasy football ring to your future. Get out the polish and shine it up. That's how we do it. And we're going to go around the league, for those of you new to the show, stud duds and sleeper style, breaking down each and every game for you, as well as your questions in the chat room. And we've got the chat room filling up. Always a shout-out to our chat room peeps, Aces Up, Dokuchu, JoJo, Reverend Taz, Taz Sighting in the house, fantasyfootballwiz.com. Check him out. Before we get started, let me tell you about the NFL Draft Bible. Check that out, NFLDraftBible.com, NFLDraftBible.com, NFLDraftBible.com. I'll tell you more about that as the show carries on. And, of course, we're on the Fantasy Sports Channel, www.fsc.fm. You want to get down in the chat room, that's where you do it. All right, let's do it, guys. Morning. Week 10 holiday, let's get into it before the questions keep flowing in. We'll get our first game out of the way, and that was Thursday night, Chicago at San Francisco. Hopefully our friend who was in the chat room last week trying to tell me how great Jay Cutler was is hanging around, and maybe he can shed some light on how great Jay Cutler is. Ralph, what was your impact and analysis from that game?
Well, I think when you take a look at the Chicago Bears, you're taking a look at a team from a fantasy perspective that it's full of a lot of guys that are not reliable. I mean, you start with Jay Cutler. He's a guy that can throw 5 touchdowns or 5 interceptions. Either way, you know that he's good for a couple of picks in most games. And then you're looking at a guy like Matt Forte, doesn't have a good offensive line in front of him, didn't do a good job catching the ball. The receivers, they're hit or miss. You know, it's a team of guys from a fantasy perspective that I would try to stay away from because, again, from one week to another, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, the 49ers, you know, Frank Gore is the guy, the man, the main man over there. And Crabtree's a guy I love to have in a keeper league. But overall, I think those guys on that Chicago team are disappointing, the fantasy guys I'm talking about.
And Ross, already some news out of San Francisco after that game. Isaac Bruce has now been demoted from the first team. Josh Morgan elevated back to the first team, which makes Michael Crabtree and Josh Morgan the starting wideouts to go along with Vernon Davis. Any immediate impact there for either Alex Smith or Josh Morgan, Ross?
Well, I think the demotion of Isaac Bruce is probably something they were looking forward to doing because that meant that Crabtree was ready to roll, and from what I saw, he definitely is. I actually kind of liked what I saw out of Alex Smith in that game, even though, you know, they didn't put a lot of points on the board. I think it elevates his value. As this is the last bye week, I don't know how much value he's going to have. But I think moving forward, this is the guy that they're going to stick with at quarterback. And as far as the Bears go, I agree with the Reverend. I think everyone on that team is totally unreliable. And, you know, from the preseason till now, we've been preaching that Jay Cutler just isn't the guy that's going to take the Bears anywhere. And, you know, quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised to see him back with Mike Shanahan next year. As Lovie Smith is proving to me that he just should not be coaching that team. I don't think that the offense is running as well as it should be, and I think Lovie Smith has proved that he is not the guy that's going to be able to harness the talent that they got in Jay Cutler, and Cutler's there to stay, so I don't know how long Lovie Smith's going to be there for, but this is not what Bears fans expected this season.
That's for sure. Guys, this past week, Larry Johnson was released. Not a whole lot of moving and shaking as far as the waiver wire goes on the NFL level. If you're a fantasy football owner and you picked him up and you have him stashed on your bench, is there any hopes that this guy gets picked up, can still be a contributor? We heard some talk about the Patriots. We heard some talk about the Redskins. Texans said they're not interested. Is there a landing spot that makes sense for LJ, one? And then two, if there is, does the guy have anything left in the tank? Is he worth holding on to for your fantasy football team? I'll open up that to the floor.
First of all, I think this guy is toxic. You know, I think, first of all, I don't think there are a lot of teams that are interested in him, because if there were, he would have been picked up already. And does he have something left? I think it depends on the team that he lands on. If there's like some big injury to a big running back, he could certainly come in. Is he the same player he was from 3 or 4 years ago? No, he's not. But I still think he's a talented enough guy that, you know, if he's given the job, a feature back job, I think he can do a halfway decent job. But again, what are you talking about? To me, he's no more than a flex back in fantasy football. So, you know, I really wouldn't concern myself about picking up Larry Johnson.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rev. I mean, I think he has the combination you don't want if you're a GM. He's not a good guy, and he's lost a lot of his burst. And if you're a team that needs a running back, you're probably not high up in the playoff race. And if you're not high up in the playoff race, do you really want to bring a guy like Larry Johnson into your team? What are you telling your fans about what your plans are for the future? To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. The only thing that would make sense is if a playoff-bound team with problems at depth at the running back position might want to pick him up as insurance or to spell their feature back. But I don't see a lot of teams there that are going to be willing to take the risk, and it is a risk bringing a guy like that in so far this season. I don't see it happening, and quite frankly, he has attituded himself out of the league.
Okay, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, the Triple R Connect, breaking it down for you now. We're going to go over to the chat room, get some questions in there. PPR League, I'm going to throw this one out to Ralph, needs two players. He has Kevin Smith, LeSean McCoy, Colby Smith, and Chris Chambers, citing last week. Gets cut 1 week, two touchdowns the next week. So, Ralph, let me ask you, point per reception league, Kevin Smith, LeSean McCoy, Kevin Smith, I said twice, and Chris Chambers, which two do you like?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to get too excited about Chris Chambers. You know, let's not forget, you know, this guy, with the exception of that one game he had last week, he's been a total disappointment. To me, he has to do it again for me to really put him in my lineup, to even consider putting him in the starting lineup. Kevin Smith has a terrible matchup. He's going up versus the Minnesota Vikings. They don't give up much against the run. He's very shaky. I think by default, I'm going to have to go with LeSean McCoy. I know that Westbrook is playing this week, and, you know, there's a chance that McCoy might not see a lot of carries, but I do think that Philly's probably going to end up splitting the carries between Westbrook and LeSean McCoy. And let's face it, the Chargers are not good against the run. So I would definitely go with LeSean McCoy and take a chance with Colby Smith. Why not? I mean, look at his matchup. He's going up against the Oakland Raiders. So even if Colby Smith doesn't get a lot of carries and let's say only puts up between 30 and 40 yards, you know that he is the goal line guy, according to what we're hearing out of Kansas City. So I would take a chance with LeSean McCoy and Colby Smith.
Yeah, Chris Chambers, two touchdowns, but let's not buy into the hype. Let's not get too excited. Let's simmer down there. Ross, another question coming in PPR League, and it actually involves LeSean McCoy and Brian Westbrook. Ralph mentioned them sharing the carries, that running back by committee this week. If you were in a PPR league and needed two players and you had Westbrook, McCoy, and then also Jonathan Stewart against Atlanta, where D'Angelo Williams is questionable. Turf Toe Johnny may be toting a rock heavy today. LaDainian Tomlinson versus Philadelphia, not a guy that I really like, but if you had those four guys, the two Eagles backs, LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Turf Toe Johnny, which two running backs are you going to go with? Does it make sense to go with the committee back, or do you want to get Turf Toe Johnny in there and someone else? How are you playing that one?
Well, I definitely want to get Turf Toe Johnny in there. Look, he missed practice Wednesday, but that's been routine for him as far as resting that Achilles. And, you know, D'Angelo Williams has been kind of iffy all week. So even if Williams does play, Stewart is worth a start here to me. The question is, what Philadelphia back do you go with? And look, Philadelphia is saying that Westbrook is ready to go, that his ankle is healed properly enough for him to get time. So to me, I guess I would start Westbrook, but I wouldn't be too psyched about it. So I'd go Westbrook and Stewart and hope that those injuries work out in your favor both ways.
Ralph, are you in favor of that selection, or do you believe in the running back by committee theory, or do you think LaDainian Tomlinson should be in that equation?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Stewart myself. You know, as Russ mentioned, D'Angelo Williams is a game-time decision, and even if he does play, you know, he might not get that usual amount of carries that he does get, the same workload he usually gets. So I could see Turf Toe Johnny having a nice day today.
All right, let's go over to the phone lines and light them up. Jersey in the house, how you doing?
Yo, man, Jersey in the house, 8-1, 6-3, PPR in first. Quick question, my brother. In my PPR league, I'm going to go with Pierre Thomas. I got Bell, and I got Maroney, and I got McCoy. Definitely no McCoy with Westbrook on. Between Bell and Maroney, who do you like? 10 points, rushing touchdown.
Mike Bell or Lawrence Maroney, before I turn it over to the fellas, I'm going to tell you that Mike Bell is getting a lot of play or publicity from what I've been reading, but I got to be honest with you. I'm going to go Lawrence Maroney because Sammy Morris is out, and okay, New England is going to have to establish some sort of ground game if they want to win against the Colts. So I am going to go Lawrence Maroney over Mike Bell, and I will turn it over to the guys.
Well, I think I'm going to go with Maroney in this case also, just because I think there's a better chance that Maroney gets more carries than Mike Bell. I mean, look, Pierre Thomas is becoming the feature back in New Orleans. He got the majority of carries last week. Mike Bell always has that chance of scoring a cheap touchdown, but I think that you should feel more comfortable going with Maroney. I think he's going to get more action than Mike Bell.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Rev. I think one guy is overrated and one guy is currently underrated. And the underrated guy right now is Lawrence Maroney, who has played very well fantasy-wise the last 3 weeks. And Mike Bell simply has not. He had 5 carries last week against the Panthers. And basically, if you start Mike Bell, you're rolling the dice that when it's first and goal from the 3, Mike Bell is going to be the guy in there, and he's going to get the ball, and he's going to score. To me, that's not worth a risk. I think Maroney is playing well. As the Reverend said, I agree with him. The Patriots are going to run the ball today, and he's been pretty effective. He's got 3 scores the last 3 weeks. I think Maroney is a good start today.
Good. That's what I got in there. I grabbed Beanie Wells for him, so I do have him in there. My son wanted to know, he plays for Del Valle. They just clinched the MAC division. They're going to be playing John Hopkins next week, NCAA. He's got Reggie Bush or Stewart. PPR league. He's got Maurice Jones playing. He needs to pick one of those two. He's still sleeping. You know, he gets up at 10 to get practice at 11. He won me last night.
I think he may be up because I just got IM that same exact trait. So he might be up and about, but if it's not him, someone else also has the very same dilemma. And I was ready to pounce on this one because if you even think twice about this one, you know, I'm going to come down to Jersey and slap you with my shoe because Turf Toe Johnny, you know, this guy's going to get 20 touch carries today. D'Angelo Williams is all banged up, and I think the Panthers might even actually win. So in that case, I think Turf Toe Johnny, 2 touchdowns today. Reggie Bush, what is he? He's a scat back.
Yeah, that's true. I got D'Angelo in my other league. I'm hoping D'Angelo plays. I'm like 8-1 league.
Yeah, we don't, you know, we don't know what the latest is. I'm sure it'll come across the wire at some point, and we'll update that status. But yeah, I mean, yeah, if you do have D'Angelo Williams, you're holding your breath. But you know, like Jersey does, it just smashing the competition.
Yep, I'll tell Junior when he calls me around 11:30, make sure he puts Stewart in there because I think he has Bush in there. I'll make sure he does that. And thanks, guys, I appreciate it. Good luck to you guys this weekend. Excuse me.
Yep. Good luck to you as well, and Jersey in the house.
Yep. Thanks, guys. You take care. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think, Rick, I agree with you, but I don't think it's that big of a difference between Bush and Stewart, although I would start Stewart.
All right. Well, from one Jersey brethren to another, we have 973 in the house. Are you with us?
I think I am.
What's your name? What's on your mind? Talk to us, baby.
My name's Matt, and I'm calling about my second running back in a PPR league. I got another Reggie Bush dilemma. I also got Kevin Smith against Minnesota, Jamal Charles, who I picked off the wire against Oakland, and no Sean Moreno sharing carries. I got to only start one of them.
So we got Charles, Moreno, Bush, and who else?
Kevin Smith.
Yeesh.
You know, wow. Smith would be my default, but against Minnesota, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, that's trouble. I think I actually would go with no Sean Moreno of that group, but you could really – those are four guys in the low 20s. It's pretty much
I'll tell you the strategy that I play here. You know, I take a look at those guys, and you know me. If you've been listening to the show, this is 10 weeks now. We've been doing it this year. I'm all about the upside. So I take a look at a guy like no Sean Moreno. I combine that with my gut feeling and say, hey, you know what? This guy's kind of due for a big game. He's been running good. And you know what? He's got the most upside. So me personally, I like no Sean Moreno there.
Yeah, go all in. Go all in with no Sean, man.
Well, you know, frankly, I haven't been all too impressed with no Sean in recent weeks. I don't know. I might actually go with Smith here. I don't like Smith's matchup. But, you know, he's the only one in Detroit who's going to see any carries. So, you know, even though he might average like 2 yards a carry – you know, I think he's the guy that's probably going to get the biggest amount of carries this week.
How many rushing carries do you think they're going to have in Detroit, though?
I don't know, but he does catch the ball, you know.
That's
so
true. I think Smith or Moreno are my bets in that, but I'd go with Moreno. You know, I think they're going to want to get him going. I don't think the Redskins defense, I think they're a bit overrated, and I think Denver comes out and has a really good performance today, so I'd go with Moreno.
Okay.
All right, gents. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Jersey in the house. Always good to see Jersey. Back over to the chat room. Big Truth 27 did not forget about you. I know you had a dilemma there with the Colts wideouts. You had Pierre Garçon. You want to know if you want to trade Garçon and Brown for a wide receiver and drop LJ. Let me know what Brown that is. Is that Donald Brown? Is that, Freddie Brown? Is that, you know, it's slipping
Tim
my
Brown.
Mind. Yeah, we got guest 3-2-3 PPR league needs a tight end. Only have Chris Cooley on the IR. Fred Davis is on the roster. Jermichael Finley and Tony Scheffler available. Which one of those guys, Ralph, if any, would you go after?
Well, you have to know, first of all, that Jermichael Finley is not going to play this week. So, I mean, if you're picking up a tight end to start this week, do not go with Finley. Obviously, the guy you have to go for, you're telling me Scheffler is available. I would roll the dice with Tony Scheffler. You know, he's kind of like a boomer bust type of guy, but he's a decent player who's actually been able to stay healthy this year, so that's the guy I'm going with.
Okay, we got some questions coming in. We're going to discuss Darren McFadden when we get to that Oakland-Kansas City showdown. Yes, Glenn Coffey is hurt. He is not placed on the IR, however, from what I've been told or heard. However, there is one running back situation worth investigating, and that's out in Washington, where we mentioned Clinton Portis is out, Liddell Betts is starting, but he's kind of banged up there, and I think Rock Cartwright is in the mix, and they have another running back I was reading about this morning. We'll find out.
Quinton Ganther.
Gather, man.
Quinton Ganther, correct, from Utah. You know, that's an interesting situation. We'll talk about that when we get to that game. Going back to Big Truth 27? Should he trade Pierre Garçon and Donald Brown and try to upgrade for a number two wide receiver? He seems to be very well stacked at running back. Guys, is this a move you would be worth exploring? Ross, Pierre Garçon really has kind of faded away. Austin Colley, who our friend Taz really likes, is kind of stepping up. So do you think if you package Garçon and Donald Brown, are you going to find a guy that has more upside than Donald Brown? I'm not so sure, but if you're trading him for a wide receiver, is that something you would consider, sir?
Yeah, I definitely would consider that two-for-one deal to a team that is lacking in depth. But as always, it depends who you have at your running back position. Can you spare losing a guy with potential like Donald Brown, who is healthy now and will get some carries today? And who are you going to get at wide receiver? I think if you can upgrade a couple of ticks over Garçon, who I'm not that high. I'm not high on him or Colley these days. But I think if you can upgrade there, that's a good two-for-one deal that you can do.
Okay, guys, let's keep it moving here. We're going to get into our first matchup, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible.com. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini here, taking you around the league of mystery and intrigue. And first up is those Atlanta Falcons traveling into Carolina, where Carolina needs a win. We mentioned D'Angelo Williams is questionable. Ross, take it away.
Tricky game, fantasy-wise and reality-wise here in this battle. These teams always get together. It always seems to be an exciting game. You know, the big question mark, two question marks, one each team, Roddy White for the Falcons and D'Angelo Williams for the Panthers. I would look for both of them to play, but just how effective they're going to be, I don't know. And it's a bigger risk to start these guys and get, you know, the one catch for 10 yards out of Roddy White and to get minimal carries, you know, 8 carries for 40 yards from D'Angelo Williams if he's not doing well. So it's a tough one. You got to pay attention to injury reports, so do that. Starting at 11, you'll start to hear words about that. And Williams did sit out Friday's practice, so to me, that's not a very good sign. As far as who I like in this game, you got to love Michael Turner. And if Williams is set to go, I think I would play him. Jonathan Stewart is definitely a play here, regardless of whether or not Williams plays. He will get carries. He probably will find the end zone this game. I think this game's going to be pretty tight and pretty high scoring. I also like Steve Smith against that pretty porous Atlanta pass defense, and I know you don't want to rely on Jake Delhomme, so don't, but Steve Smith isn't the one who's going to throw interceptions. He'll probably break deep for a long TD in this game. I told you he was a dud last week. He didn't play well, and I'm going to say he's a dud again this week, and that is Matt Ryan. Guys, 11 turnovers since the bye week in only 5 games. That is definitely a red flag for me. I'd rather have a guy like Mark Sanchez for today. Plus, I think Atlanta's success in this game is going to come on the ground, at least in the early part of the game. So I do not like Matt Ryan in this matchup at all. The sleeper in this game, I think Carolina's going to put points up, but I think the Atlanta D is a good play, and that's because you got Jake Delhomme on the other side of the ball. And when Jake Delhomme's playing against your defense, that means fantasy points. I see the Carolina Panthers winning this game in an upset, 28-27.
And you know what, Ross? I don't necessarily disagree. I think the Chargers are really going to the Panthers are really going to be fighting today. They're 3-5. The Falcons are 5-3. A win by the Panthers can certainly keep them in the mix, so to speak. Let's keep it moving along and talk about the next matchup, which is Tampa Bay at the Miami Dolphins. Ralph, big news out of Miami. Sperano has put Big Mouth Joey Porter to the bench. Not much of an explanation coming to the media, but the media has concluded that Mr. Sperano, Mr. Parcells, they're tired of Joey talking, and after Tom Brady coming out and publicly saying that his words actually fueled the Patriots' win over them last week, Joey Porter to the bench. Your take?
Well, you know, that's Joey Porter for you. He keeps talking his mess. He keeps talking that mess to the media. And, you know, sooner or later, everybody's going to get tired of it, and probably the coaches are tired of hearing him each and every week. So I think it's a good move by Sperano. But focusing on this matchup here, I love Ricky Williams. You know, I love the way he's played this year. you know, a few weeks ago, both D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart ran wild on the Bucks as each went over the century mark in rushing yards. So I anticipate the same thing happening today with Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams in particular has been especially dangerous as a receiver lately, and even on option pitch plays like the one he scored on last week. So the Dolphins will be ahead in this game, and I think they're going to be running it all day versus a 30th-ranked Tampa Bay run defense. I love me some Ricky Williams. He's my number one stud, and also start Ronnie Brown as well. The dud here, you know, I know that he had a great debut, but, you know, I would not rush things and start Josh Freeman just yet. You know, he's certainly a keeper league type of guy, a quarterback. But unlike last week, the rookie will have to deal with a hostile road environment. And last week, he was also helped out by his defense and special teams units that set him up with the ball inside Green Bay's 20-yard line. And then another guy, obviously, Antonio Bryant, is not going to play. So if he is in your starting lineup, take him out. He missed practice on Friday. He's been battling a sore knee. So forget about him. The sleeper here, I love Miami's defense in this game. I know that they're not getting a lot of takeaways, but they rank 7th overall in sacks with 21. And plus, they go up versus a rookie quarterback in his second start. So that's always a good thing. And then finally, I don't know if I should list this guy as a sleeper, but he's, to me, you know, I don't like starting a lot of Tampa Bay Buccaneers most weeks, but, you know, I kind of like Kellen Winslow Jr. also. The Dolphins are allowing the most fantasy points per game to tight ends. And Mr. Jr., K2, is coming off a 4-reception for 57-yard effort with a touchdown last week. So I think he has a good shot of putting up decent numbers. But again, I like Miami in this one, 27-13.
I'm going to go flip mode on you, Ralph. I actually like this as one of my upset specials of the week. I think Josh Freeman gets his first W as a starter, I believe it would be. And
keep
an eye on Sammy Strouder there in Tampa Bay. You mentioned Antonio Bryant. Sammy Strouder, a 7th-round pick, emerging as a go-to guy there in Tampa Bay.
Wow, I can't see Tampa Bay winning that game on the road.
Upset special, my friend, and, you know, those folks in Detroit, Ross, are hoping for a little upset special of themselves as they travel into Minnesota. I'm not sure if I have much faith in that, you know, predicament, but the Vikings 7-1 just rolling along, taking on the Lions, who are exact opposite, 1-7. Any concerns there with Brett Favre and his groin, Ross?
No, I have no concerns about Brett Favre, unless that I hear that he's lost a limb, he's going to start. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And I think the upset will be if this game's within 2 touchdowns. I don't see any way Minnesota loses this game. For Detroit, Calvin Johnson, there was a little injury concern about him earlier in the week, but he looks like he is good to go. For all that's going to do, Matt Stafford's going to be looking up at the ceiling of the dome for most of that game. Look, they have a home game, and they're coming off a bye week, and to me, that means start Brett Favre. I don't think he's going to have a lot of yardage in this game. I don't think he's going to need it. I'd look for like a, you know, 210-yard, 3-touchdown day. And, you know, look, 16 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, even I, as a detractor of Favre's, cannot argue with that. Obviously, you start Adrian Peterson, although, you know, he only had 92 yards in the Week 2 matchup against Detroit. I think this week you might be able to put a 1 in front of that 92. I could see him busting out for just a gigantic day. So AD owners, get ready to reap the benefits of having your man as the number one overall pick way back when. I think you also have to start, and my number one D of this week is the Minnesota defense against Matthew Stafford. Minnesota's got 31 sacks. They're going to pressure Stafford all day, and when they don't get to him, they're going to force him into mistakes, and that means tons of fantasy points. So I love the Minnesota D today. My dud in this one is going to be Kevin Smith. I wouldn't start him at all. He's got a bum shoulder. Minnesota's got a good run defense. I know he catches the ball in the backfield, as was mentioned earlier by the Reverend, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of yards there for Kevin Smith, pass, receiving, or rushing. My sleeper in this game, I'm going to go back to our guy, Sidney Rice. he did next to nothing against Detroit, you know, way back when in week two in their first matchup, but his role has changed pretty significantly since then, and it's expanded. So if you're a Rice owner, I would get him in there. It's been 4 weeks since he scored, but I think that ends today, and I think the Vikings could name their score, but I'm going to go Minnesota 38, Detroit 10.
Yeah, this game is going to be big, bad, and brutal, and you mentioned Sidney Rice. I like him a lot. Bernard Berrien, questionable, did practice on a limited basis this week, is expected to go. Back over to the chat room where Big Truth 23 must be working the phone lines as we're on the air, trying to trade Pierre Garçon and Donald Brown for Megatron and Sean Green. What's your take on that,
wow,
guys?
I'd say pull the trigger on that right now.
I think if he gets Megatron alone, that would be a decent trade. But to get Megatron and Sean Green, he's asking for a lot.
If that trade is offered, man, you make that trade right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Ogara chiming in the chat room wants to know Mason Crosby or my Baronis. Yeah, you guys have any thoughts on your preference for kicker this week?
Well, when I choose a kicker, I always go with the guy on the team that's going to score more points. I don't know who that is. Yeah, I'll go with the Tennessee guy. I'll go with Baronis.
Oh.
You know, Tennessee's going up against Buffalo. Buffalo, to me, doesn't have a good defense. I think Tennessee should be able to run all over that team. And I could see Baronis hitting about two or three field goals.
I sincerely hope that you're wondering if you should pick one of those guys up off the waiver wire and that you're not wasting two roster spots on kickers. But I would go with my man from Colorado, Mason Crosby, in this game. I think that game's going to be pretty high scoring. I don't have a lot of faith in the Tennessee offense, even though they are playing a pretty bad defense today. So I'll go with my former schoolmate, Mason Crosby, there. Although, you know what, kickers are always a crapshoot, man. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I have Rod Baronis on one of my teams going. He has like 8 or 9 field goals over 40 yards for whatever it's worth. But both of these kickers have a cannon. Both of them have a boot. You know, like you said, flip a coin.
No more kicking questions, man.
Yeah, please. Okay. Guys, let's see. I have Williams, D'Angelo, Jonathan Stewart, and Nate Burleson need to start 2 of the 3. But so here's the dilemma. He has both Carolina running backs and Nate Burleson. If you got to go 2 out of 3, which way do you lean here, Ralph?
Well, I'm going to go with Stewart and Burleson just because you don't know if D'Angelo is going to play. What you need to do is you need to check either the TV, the pregame shows, or go on the internet and check if D'Angelo is playing at about 12 o'clock or 12:30, because he's going to be a game-time decision. But I would feel comfortable going with Stewart and Burleson. I think they both have nice matchups, and, you know, both should do pretty well this week.
Yeah, I'm going with you, Rev. I think that Arizona's pass defense has been pretty suspect, and although Burleson, if I recall correctly, didn't do hardly anything the first time these teams played in, like, that 100-0 whitewashing.
Well, it's because his quarterback did nothing.
That's right. But I think unless you see D'Angelo Williams running normally in pregame, I think you got to play it pretty safe here and go with Stewart and Burleson.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. This is how we do it each and every week on the Fantasy Sports Channel, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Tony Sincotta comes up at 10 a.m. at the top of the hour. Fantasy Sports Channel, www.fsc.com. Check out the NFL Draft Bible. Those guys are really doing it. NFLDraftBible.com. We're going to have big news coming out of the NFL Draft Bible coming shortly, so keep it locked there. A lot of good things. Player database being multiplied by the day. You want to see the stars of tomorrow, go check out the player search over there. College Football Insider's newsletter, you can download it for free each and every week at the NFLDraftBible.com. In case I forgot to mention, you should really check out NFLDraftBible.com. Okay, some injury reports coming across the wire, and they will the next hour or so, and we'll give you our thoughts on those. This one not so big. We already knew, for the most part, Adam Schefter is reporting. Roddy White expected to play despite the knee injury. Sam Baker, however, the left tackle, remains a game-time decision. So we'll see. Matt Ryan, not the most attractive fantasy play for week number 10. We're going to go back over to the chat room because I know I saw some questions coming in. Let's go over to... Oh, boy. Chat room is moving right along. Pick two of these guys. Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams, Cedric Benson, or Steven Jackson. It's hard to argue not going with Cedric Benson. I would say he's the ultimate go-to guy out of that bunch. I guess it becomes Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams, or Steven Jackson, Ross.
That's a nice dilemma to have. There's some good backs there. I'd sit Benson. I'd go with Jackson and Ronnie Brown in that.
Ooh. Ralph?
Yeah, Cedric Benson's a guy that, you know, every time he has a tough matchup, you say sit him, but then he ends up producing anyway. I have to start Cedric Benson. And I'm going to go with Ricky Williams this week. I love what I've seen out of Ricky Williams. I think he's looked even more explosive than Ronnie Brown most weeks. I'm going to go with Ricky and Cedric.
Yeah, tough dilemma. That's actually courtesy of the Fantasy Taz and the official moderator of the Fantasy Football Insiders chat room. Check out fantasyfootballwiz.com for more information from the Fantasy Taz, Manny and Devil, who heals from the dirty jersey. Okay, guys, what do you guys think of Nate Washington, Kenny Britt, now that Justin Gage is down and Vince is in? We're going to talk about that one big truth coming up soon when we break down the Titans matchup. We go around the league and break them all down. Let's see. I think there was one more that we're going to get to. All right. Drop Larry Johnson for Nate Washington. Yes, do that. We'll talk more about that one in a second. Let's get another quickie in. I'm all about the quickies. Let's get one in. Ralph, New York Jets guru over here. Your Jets are coming off the bye week, my friend. Or did they play last week? I don't know.
No, they had a bye week. Yeah,
it was one of those weeks. Jacksonville comes into town. Mark Sanchez, 2 weeks to prepare. However, nothing up front, down the middle, that the Jets have that can stop Maurice Jones-Drew. But I'll let you take it from here, my friend.
Yeah, I think the Jets are well rested. I think Mark Sanchez did have a chance to recollect his energies, recharge his batteries. I like Braylon Edwards in this game as my stud. I think the return of Jericho Cotchery at receiver has helped free up more space for Edwards, who will see some single coverage opportunities versus a very thin Jacksonville defensive secondary. Look for the Jets to target the former Brown in both the red zone and goal line area. The dud here, believe it or not, I'm going to go with Mike Sims-Walker here. MSW has only had one bad game all year, so it's very, very tough to bench him. I have him in a number of leagues, but I am going to bench him, especially if you have somebody better to start. Look, he's going up against Darrell Revis. He's already shut down the likes of Andre Johnson, Randy Moss, Marquise Colston. And the other thing going against Mike Sims-Walker is the fact that he has a very shaky David Garrard at quarterback throwing him the ball, and David Garrard is rarely a good start on the road. So for this week only, bench Mike Sims-Walker. And the sleeper here is the aforementioned Mark Sanchez. Not only does Sanchez have a good matchup against a defense giving up nearly 250 yards per game to their opponents, but the rookie has accounted for 5 touchdowns and no turnovers in his last 2 games. I think this game sets up very well for him, given the fact that the Jaguars don't have much of a pass rush and they don't have enough to stop Braylon Edwards, Jericho Cotchery, and Dustin Keller. So go with Mark Sanchez as your sleeper. The final score here, I think the Jets win this game 25-16.
Well, they're going to need it, Reverend, because, you know, Jacksonville and New York, both 4-4. This is, even though we're halfway through the season, the way things are shaping up, this is almost like a playoff elimination match. Whoever loses this game is going to be in a bigger hole than the other, and is going to hold that advantage, the team that wins. So, with that said, Calvin Johnson or Greg Jennings in a PPR league, Ross, man?
Calvin Johnson or Greg Jennings? Wow. I think I'd probably have to go with Calvin Johnson in a PPR league, but it's pretty close.
Okay, and we're going to go over to Cincinnati, Ross. On fire, traveling into Blitzburg, where, you know, the Steelers 6-2, the Bengals 6-2, could have a changing of the guard, or maybe not. Break it down.
Yeah, I mean, this is the second week in a row that the Bengals are going to be facing one of their rivals as far as, you know, history goes. And look, it's another revenge chance, and I think this week that the Steelers are going to get the better of it and get their revenge. I think Hines Ward, to me, is a stud in this game. I think the Steelers are going to have to pass to win this game. So I think he and Ben Roethlisberger are very studly in this game, as is the bribery, guilty of bribery man, Ocho Cinco, for the Bengals. The Steelers have shown they can be throw-on, not run-on. So I would temper your expectations for Cedric Benson, but again, keep him in unless you have one of those great bench guys that we discussed earlier on the Dolphins to put in for him. The dud in this one, guys, I'm down on Rick's favorite guy from last year, Santonio Holmes. He didn't really do anything the first time these teams played, and the 60-minute man, Mike Wallace, is more part of the offense these days. And look, since his defense has played very well, and Holmes simply is not the red zone target now over Ward or Heath Miller, so I don't know that he's necessarily even worth a start today, and you know, unless you're very, very pinched for wide receivers. Sleeper in this one, and I know this is going to raise some eyebrows here, but I kind of like Cincy's defense in this one. I'm like, look, yeah, Pittsburgh beat Denver, but if you take a look at the Pittsburgh offense against Denver, Minnesota, the defense is the one that scored points for the Steelers, not the offense. And against Cincy, Chicago, and Tennessee, the offense really didn't put points up for the Steelers. So, you know, and even against Detroit and Cleveland, they didn't score what you might think they would. So I kind of like Cincy's defense here. I don't hate the Steelers' defense, but I like the Bengals' defense a little more. Roethlisberger's always there to be sacked. He could throw one of his trademark run around and throw the ball up interceptions today. I think the Steelers win this game, but I think it's close. I don't think the point spread reflects anything near the respect that the Bengals deserve. I see the Steelers winning 24-21 in a really good game.
Yeah, this is going to be a really good game, and on most weeks it would be the game of the week, but not this week.
No. That's Jets-Jags, right?
I'm going to be looking forward to see how this game plays out. And we got a lot of questions coming in from the chat room that we're going to get to in a second. Before we do, our good friend Jason LaConfora over at the NFL Network, Roddy White, Liddell Betts will both play. Liddell Betts was considered a game-time decision. Darren Sharper still remains a game-time decision, as does Sam Baker. Antoine Winfield and Keith Rivers will both be out for week number 10. Okay, we are Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. We're brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible. LaConfora also saying the Panthers banking on Jonathan Stewart being available today, while D'Angelo Williams will see how he feels after warmups. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. That looks like it's going to go right up to game time to be a coach's decision. Guys, let's talk about the chat room that's on fire, baby. Let's go one at a time, knock them down, line them up, knock them down again. Ralph, your thoughts on the Green Bay defense against the Dallas offense this week?
Well, I don't think it's a great matchup. Dallas has been red hot lately, throwing the ball to Miles Austin. We saw Roy Williams kind of get into it in the last game. They have three good running backs. Wow, I don't like this matchup. I mean, if you have a better option this week, I would go with that other option.
God, I'd rather have the Chiefs than the Packers today.
There you have it, and you'll get another perspective on that matchup when Ross breaks that game down later in the show. Ross, let me ask you this. If you needed two players here, Ocho Cinco, Miles Austin, or Greg Jennings, which one are you putting to the bench?
Wow, I think you gotta put Jennings on the bench. He's just shown that he's the number two guy now behind Driver. And I really like what
James Jones in the mix over there. Those Packers wideouts, man, you just don't know from week to week.
Well, I think you know that Driver is going to be the guy. And I think in Cincy, you know Ocho is going to be the guy. And in Dallas, despite the one catch for a touchdown last week, I think Miles Austin has proved himself. So I would bench Jennings.
Okay. And, Ralph, let me ask you this. Anquan Boldin, Miles Austin, Hakeem Nicks, or Austin Colley, which wide receiver do you drop out of the four?
Nicks, Colley. It would have to be between Nicks and Colley, I guess. Wow. You know, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't drop Colley. I mean, he's playing with the best quarterback in the NFL right now. One of the top two quarterbacks, anyway, with Manning and Breeze. I think I would begrudgingly have to go with Nicks. He would be the guy I would drop, although I love Hakeem Nicks.
Make a trade.
Yeah, there you go. That's the best solution right there.
And how dare you not mention Tom Brady as one of the best quarterbacks?
Back over to the big bad Ross man, Greg Jennings or Austin Colley.
All right, let's not get carried away with Colley here. I think you start Jennings.
Okay. Ralph, Anquan Boldin, Austin Miles, Mike Sims-Walker, Hakeem Nicks, Austin Colley, never mind. Ronnie Brown, MJD, Ricky Williams, Cedric Benson, Brian Westbrook, PPR League, needs three. I'll say them again. Ronnie Brown, MJD, Ricky Williams, Cedric Benson, Brian Westbrook, needs three. What do you got there for?
Well, I'll tell you the two guys that I'm leaving out. You said NJ, you mean Mike Sims-Walker, NJD? Who's that?
Oh, MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, Maurice Jones-Drew. Okay. I would definitely leave out Westbrook here. Again, he's never 100% healthy. He's going to be splitting carries. So I don't like him to have a huge game today, although, you know, compared to these guys anyway. I'm definitely starting Brown. I'm definitely starting MJD. And who is okay, let's see. Westbrook, Brown, MJD.
Benson, I would definitely, and Ricky Williams.
And Ricky Williams. I would start Ricky Williams, MJD, and Ronnie Brown.
All right, I'm sorry. I can't start Ricky Williams over Cedric Benson. I ride my.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, hold on. I didn't know Cedric Benson was part of the equation. Okay.
Okay.
In that case, I'd leave out Ronnie Brown and put in Cedric Benson.
Wow. I'm going Maurice Jones-Drew, Benson, and Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown didn't have a great week the past couple of weeks. So.
No, it's all about the upside, my friend. You got to ride your studs. Jason Witten.
Ricky Williams is not a stud? All right, go ahead.
Ricky Williams is not a stud, my friend.
Okay.
I hate to burst your balloon boy bubble. Jason Witten or Brandon Pettigrew, I don't even know if this is a serious question. I guess Witten is blocking more this year. But, yeah, again, you don't sit your studs. You don't sit Jason Witten for Brandon Pettigrew. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, you want to ask me Jason Witten or Jeremy Shockey, that's a legit question. But come on. Come on.
LeSean McCoy or Brian Westbrook, who has the more upside there, Ralph?
Well, obviously McCoy has the most upside there, but I think this week I'd rather go with Westbrook. Look, the thing that Westbrook does that McCoy doesn't do, Westbrook blocks a lot better than McCoy right now at this stage. So I think the Eagles feel more comfortable with Westbrook in the offense as long as he's healthy.
Guys, I think there's room for both guys against that San Diego run D, but, you know, I've been riding McCoy, and I'm sticking with him. I think he has a better overall fantasy back.
Okay, Steelhead, we're going to name some wide receiver sleepers in a second because I got some for you. First, Liddell Betts, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, if you had to choose one of those guys, Ross, in place of D'Angelo Williams, who would it be?
One more time.
Liddell Betts, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles.
I'm going with Slim Shady McCoy.
I am as well. And, again, you want to make wait, hold off, see how D'Angelo Williams feels after pregame warm-ups. A decision will be made. Hold on before you announce your lineup if you can. Quarterbacks, guys. Mark Sanchez, Donovan McNabb, or Kyle Orton, Ralph? Who do you like there?
A little late.
I'm gonna go with Sanchez this week. You know, look, as far as McNabb goes, I know he has the big name. I know he's the big all-star guy that everybody loves. I've been watching him this year, and he's looked like garbage most of the time. He cannot complete a 10 to 12-yard pass. He's been off the mark. The accuracy is not there. It takes him a long time to make decisions. He looks uncertain a lot of times. I'm going to go with Sanchez in this one. I love his matchup this week versus the Jaguars.
Yeah, I like the Sanchez matchup as well, but I'm not gonna go as far to say as that I'd start him over Donovan McNabb. And I agree with you, Rev. I've seen this from McNabb his whole career. It's just too inconsistent. He just seems to get a little too nervous when he has time to sit there and think. And he's doing a lot of thinking lately. He looked very poor against Dallas. But I think I know the Chargers pass defense is you know ranked pretty highly, but they've been feasting on Kansas City and Oakland and teams of that sort. So I think I'm going to have to go with McNabb here.
And to confuse you even further, I'm going to go with Kyle Orton. I love his matchup this week. He's playing the Redskins. I think Kyle Orton is the ultimate bye week fill-in for week number 10. So if we were out to confuse you, hopefully we did. Ross, Brett Favre or Kyle Orton?
Brett Favre for sure.
Okay, I think we're all in agreement that you would go Miles Austin over Hakeem Nicks. Agreed?
Yeah, well, especially because Hakeem Nicks is not playing this week.
Me and Nicks are going to have the same stats this week.
There you go. Devery Henderson or Chris Chambers?
Ugh. Wow. I love those questions. I think I go with Devery Henderson just because that team could score 100 points today.
I agree. I'm going with Henderson. Look, I need to see more out of Chambers before I could start him.
Absolutely. We have an East Coast gambler signing for 2 weeks in a row.
Uh-oh.
Got another big question for us in his other league, not our league. He wants to know, do you dress Calvin Johnson or do you go with Derek Mason on Monday Night Football? Similar scoring system to our league.
I'm sorry. Well, since we always go with the guy with the most upside, I think I would go with Calvin Johnson. Look, I love Derek Mason's matchup, but I think Calvin Johnson is a week healthier, and I think they're going to need to throw the ball in Detroit, obviously, in that game. And I think that Matt Stafford is going to look his way quite often this week.
I'm gonna bust out here and go with Mason. I don't have a lot of faith in Johnson's health combined with the fact that Detroit is just going to get killed, and I think Matt Stafford's going to get killed. I don't think there's going to be a lot of time for Johnson to get downfield in this game. I think the Ravens have basically a practice session on Monday night against Cleveland, and although I think they're going to use that to get the ground game and Ray Rice, you know, rushing for 150 yards, I still think Mason is going to be able to score some fantasy points in this one from Joe Flacco. So, a little surprising. I'm going to go with Mason in this one.
I'm going to go Mason as well, man. At this point of the game, I can't rely on Calvin Johnson. I'm playing for fantasy football titles over here, and Calvin Johnson's not getting it done. I gave you 10 weeks to get it done, and you're not. So, Derek Mason is the way I go. Ross, Devery Henderson or Malcolm Floyd?
Ooh, pretty boy Floyd. I'm going to stick with Devery Henderson. I'm not sold on Floyd as being a bona fide option, and Henderson has put up some decent fantasy weeks. He had a decent week last week. I think he had like 90 yards or something. So, I'm going to go with Henderson there. But, you're not crazy for starting Floyd, I don't think.
Ralph, Reggie Bush or Beanie Wells, with the Saints likely up, concerned about a heavy dose of Mike Bell or Pierre Thomas protecting the lead there.
What is it with these Reggie Bush questions? I would not start this guy. Look, he had a couple of touchdowns a few weeks ago in back-to-back games. But to me, I think you said it correctly before. He is a scat back. He doesn't run the ball well. Beanie Wells on the other side of the spectrum, he's a guy who is getting better and better every week. He is a more powerful runner, and I think Arizona is going to look to use him more and more as the weeks go on. So I would definitely go with Beanie Wells.
Yes, and when he's healthy, you got to ride him over a Reggie Bush.
Yeah, guys, the problem with Wells is that he can't block, and they don't want Kurt Warner getting hit. So that's taken away from a lot of his snaps.
However.
Not really, because Tim Hightower is going to play anyway, so you bring in Hightower to do that.
Yeah, the way I would look at this is if Arizona is playing with a lead and you know that they're going to win that game, I think Wells is a safe guy to go with. If Arizona has to play from behind, I think they're going to put the other running back in there more because he's better at catching the ball. But if you think Arizona is going to win, and I do think they're going to win this week, I would go with Wells.
Yeah, I agree to go with Wells. I think it's closer than you might think.
Ross, Cadillac, Tashard Choice, Donald Brown, PPR league. Cadillac, Tashard Choice, Donald Brown, PPR league. Who do you like?
I like what I've seen from Tashard Choice. I really think he's, of those three, he's the one that I could count on to get me some fantasy points. I don't know how much Donald Brown's going to play. The Colts usually don't rush guys back. I think I would go with Tashard Choice here.
We got a question about Matt Shaw being on the bye. Should he have went with Alex Smith over Jay Cutler? I think the answer is obvious. Anytime your quarterback throws five interceptions, it's a resounding yes. Let's see here. Questions keep on coming. Keep them coming. We love it. Someone asked me, actually it was Taz, why do I like Kyle Orton this week? Because I just do. You know, sometimes you got to play a hunch. And whether you like to hear that or not, to me, I don't care that the Washington Redskins are ranked second in against opposing quarterbacks. The bottom line is the reality of that franchise is it's going down the drain faster than a tunnel. Okay, so the Washington Redskins are a joke organization. The team has given up. Nobody in that locker room has respect for Jim Zorn. Okay, he's a dead man walking. And to me, Kyle Orton puts up every year. He's got like three or four games where he just goes off. I'm just playing the hunch, and that's why I like Kyle Orton. And believe it or not, whether you want to like it or not, you know, sometimes that's just how you get an answer to these equations.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. My hunch is that the Broncos run all day today. So I see Orton throwing for maybe like 200 yards if he's lucky. I don't think he's going to have a bad day. I just don't think he's going to, you know, approach 300 yards like I think Rick does.
Well, I didn't say 300 yards, but I think 250 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions is very doable. And if you're using them for a bye week filler like I am, I will very well take that. Ralph, flex spot, PPR league, Westbrook, Maroney, Calvin. Westbrook, Maroney, and Calvin. The screen is moving so fast for me here. Sims Walker, which do you like?
Have to pick two?
I think one. I'll find out. Who do you start? Devery Henderson? BTR, if you are listening, my friend, what you need to do is make the chat room screen bigger so that every time I try to read a question, they don't just keep disappearing by the other questions that follow below it.
I'll tell you what. If I had to pick two out of those guys, this week I would go with Westbrook. And I would go with Lawrence Maroney. Calvin Johnson is a guy I like, but he has been banged up all year. And Sims Walker, as we mentioned before, has a tough matchup versus Darrell Revis. He has Garrard playing on the road. So I'd go with Westbrook and Maroney.
Okay, there you have it. Ross, Bill B. wants to know, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, or Sidney Rice? Pick two of those four. Houshmandzadeh, Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, Sidney Rice. Two of those four.
I'm going with Marshall and Rice. I like those matchups for those two guys.
Okay, Ralph, here's a thriller. Josh Freeman or Trent Edwards? I think the question here becomes, what week did your fantasy football season end?
You know something, obviously the upside is with Freeman, but look, the kid only had one start. He's going on the road in a hostile environment against a pretty decent defense.
No Bryant.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to go with Edwards by default. I don't like Edwards' matchup either, but look, if I had to choose, I'd go with Trent Edwards here.
No way, baby. Give me the rookie. Looked a little electric out there last week. Give me the rookie.
Okay. Good luck with your rookie.
Okay. Beat the Man, I want to thank you very much. Beat the Man, telling me about the non-scroll feature, which I just clicked and found out, and I love. So now you can Not make your computer screen.
If you want to be the man, Rick.
Fantastic, my lad. Okay, guys. Reset, rewind, and let you know who we are. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, breaking it down for you. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, each and every Sunday morning, exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel, 8:30 to 10. You know how we do it. Okay, go to NFLDraftBible.com. Go to NFLDraftBible.com. Go to NFLDraftBible.com. If you want football content, factory machinery, that's where you go for that. And, you know, we have so much to cover. We're not going to spend a lot of time plugging away. FantasyFootballWiz.com. I know for a fact that's one of the elite premier fantasy football websites that you want to bookmark. New Orleans at St. Louis, Ralph, and this goes back to the question, some of your wide receiver sleepers, I think there's a couple in this game, and Robert Meacham and Donnie Avery, while he's not a sleeper, I know he's a guy that's hanging out there. Danny Amendola sighting last week, so New Orleans Saints at St. Louis Rams, the Rams, one of the healthiest teams in the league. I still don't think it's going to help, Ralph.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the guy who's money in the bank here is going to be Pierre Thomas. The PT Cruiser is establishing himself as the feature runner, as evidenced by his 23 snaps and 18 touches last week. More importantly, he's also getting the ball near the goal line, which bodes well for the third-year back versus a Rams defense that's not only giving up 135 rushing yards per game, but is also allowing opposing backs to gain 41 receiving yards per game. So he's one of my top backs overall this week. And then Jeremy Shockey, I also like as a stud here. Look, the Rams haven't been able to put the clamps on the opposing tight end all season. There's an apparent lack of talent and injuries for the Rams at safety and linebacker. Will Witherspoon is now an Eagle, which should mean that there's a nice day up ahead for the shock jock. The dud here is Mark Bulger. Yes, Bulger should be forced to throw it a lot with the Saints jumping out to an early lead, but New Orleans leads the league in interceptions with 16 and also has a solid pass rush with 19 sacks. Bulger has had only one game with over 200 yards passing all year, and that was versus the lowly Jaguars. The sleeper is Mike Bell. We talked about him before. This guy always seems to be my sleeper, but and I don't love him this week, but I do think he's the best option as a sleeper in this game. If New Orleans jumps out to that big lead, which it should, Bell should get anywhere between 12 and 15 touches and maybe even score that cheap one-yard touchdown we always talk about. New Orleans wins this game in a laugher, 37-10.
Yeah, this one's going to get ugly. It's going to get Bubba Sparks ugly. let's go over back to the chat room. Director of the program, Mark Ronick, want to give a shout-out to him. We're going to help him out here and get some fantasy football rings. PPR league, guys, needs two running backs out of Chris Johnson, D'Angelo Williams, and Joseph Addai. I will start over with Ross Radamus there.
Yeah, I think you got to be careful about injuries here. You might want to – you're definitely going with Johnson. I think you got to pay attention to injury reports. But right now, I'd say Addai.
I would agree. Would you agree, Ralph?
I agree.
Okay, two wide receivers. Let me ask you this. Ralph, Ocho Cinco, Hines Ward, and Quan Bolden, which two do you like there?
I'm definitely going to go with Ward. And to me, it's between Ocho and Anquan Bolden. Look, I don't love Ocho Cinco's matchup here. But then again, Anquan Bolden is a guy who's been banged up all season. You don't even know if he's healthy enough to finish a game, let alone start one. So I'm going to begrudgingly go with Ocho here, and I'm definitely going to go with Ward.
Okay, which leaves, he needs one flex position, which would leave him with Anquan Bolden or D'Angelo Williams. And for that, I think you have to monitor the pregame warmups at about 12:15. We'll know whether or not D'Angelo Williams is going to play. Is it safe to say that, guys?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably go with Bolden anyway. I mean, even if he plays, you don't know how many, you know, how much action Williams is going to see. And I know Bolden's been banged up, but rested up a bit. And I know there's been a lot of controversy about how he was notified that he was a scratch.
Right.
But I think he's just going to be ready to rock this week. I like Anquan Boldin.
Well, there's also grumblings about how he wants out and how the Cardinals are going to look to accommodate him as soon as the season is over.
Yeah, we heard that last year, too.
Keeping it moving, Calvin Johnson or Dwayne Bowe, who do you start this week?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, look, I can't put any faith in that Chiefs offense. Look, and I do have Colby Smith and Jamaal Charles on a couple of my teams, but I'm keeping them on the bench. I don't know what to make out of this Chiefs offense. What I know so far is they don't put up a lot of points, even if they do have a good matchup versus the Oakland Raiders. Let's not forget, the Oakland Raiders have a cornerback there named Nnamdi Asamoah, who's going to be covering Dwayne Bowe. So, you know, I think I'm going to go with Calvin Johnson in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I watched the Chiefs, and they're acting like they're the Dan Fouts Chargers. They just throw. But the problem is their passing game isn't that good. I mean, they got to start running the football, and that should start today against the Raiders. I definitely like Calvin Johnson this matchup. I can't recommend any Chiefs.
Okay, well, can you recommend one of these for us, Ross? Brett Favre or Big Ben?
Ooh, I really like Favre today. I think he's going to have a very productive day. I think in a close call, I think I'm going with Favre.
Ralph, strictly yardage, excluding receptions, Desante Shanko or Calvin Johnson, who do you like more?
Oh, no, I'm going to go with Calvin Johnson. Vishanti Shanko always has a good chance of catching a touchdown or two. But if you're talking about yardage numbers, it's going to be Calvin Johnson. As far as I know, he's as healthy now as he has been all season. And, look, Matt Stafford, he's got an arm. If he puts it to good use and starts lofting some of those passes up there instead of throwing them in a straight line, I think the 6'5 Calvin Johnson should come down with some catches this week.
Okay, we got a question. Who to drop? Derek Mason, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Malcolm Floyd, Greg Jennings, Jeremy Maclin. It's a tough call. If I had to pick one, I would say you drop Malcolm Floyd. You can find a guy like that out on waiver wires anytime. But if you can, get rid of TJ Houshmandzadeh in a trade. Ross, need one in a PPR? Liddell Betts, Mike Bell, Darren McFadden, who we'll talk about, or Jamaal Charles? Which one do you like there? Liddell Betts, Mike Bell, Darren McFadden, Jamaal Charles.
Wow. By default, I think I'm going with Betts. He's going to get a lot of touches.
Yeah, I'm not ready to roll the dice with D-Mac yet. As much as I do love him, the way Oakland uses him, I just don't like it. Liddell Betts is probably the safest bet to get the most carries of the bunch. And with that said, we're going to get into our next matchup, which is the Buffalo Bills circling the wagons as they come into Tennessee, Ross, where, you know, we mentioned Justin Gage is going to be out several weeks. Kenny Britt is now going to start, and Nate Washington is in the mix. So before you break it down, or maybe it's part of the mix, take it away, my friend.
Oh, yeah, Trent Edwards back, T.O. banged up. I mean, if you didn't need a pillow for this one, I think you get a couple now. Look, this game could be over by 2:15. I think that's how much these teams are going to run the ball. And that means your stud in this one is definitely Chris Johnson. Look, the number one running back this week, at least I have him as that, against the number 32, that's last, rush defense. You got to love Chris Johnson. But I got to say, I also kind of like Marshawn Lynch in this one. I think the Tennessee run defense is pretty poor, even though their defense overall has kind of been waking up a little bit lately. But I like Marshawn Lynch. I don't know that there's going to be any passing in this game. So, to me, the duds in this game are the quarterbacks and wide receivers. I just don't see any legitimate fantasy value in any of them. Look, there's got to be better options on the waiver wire than a Kenny Britt or a Nate Washington. Even if Justin Gage were playing, I would recommend him. But I'll tell you, in this run fest and in this game, I think that the Tennessee Titans defense is a legitimate sleeper and a legitimate play today. You can go ahead and laugh, but go look what they've done the last 2 weeks fantasy-wise against offenses that are much better and much more productive than Buffalo. I think Tennessee's D is a good play. I think Vince Young, future Hall of Famer, goes to 3-0 as a starter this week. I think the Titans win this one going away 24-10.
those who care, Terrell Owens says he's going to play, but I don't think anyone out there in fantasy land cares. We got a question, Ralph, about D'Angelo Williams. Infinity Concepts started him for 2 years straight, sitting him for the first time for two years for Pierre Thomas.
Oh,
good
yeah.
move or bad move?
Great move.
For Pierre Thomas this week? Absolutely, it's a good move. I just mentioned before, Pierre Thomas has a cake matchup this week, so I'd definitely go with him.
Yeah, I think it's a good move, but, you know, I'm surprise, in agreement with Taz here in the chat room. I do think D'Angelo Williams is going to be okay. I mean, I think there was another game like this. I don't know if it was this year or last year. Nobody thought he was going to play, and then he came out and went wild. So I do think D'Angelo Williams is going to play, but I would take a healthy Pierre Thomas over him for week number 10.
Yeah, Rick, I think that's the point. I think if you have a guy like Pierre Thomas, that's a suitable replacement for D'Angelo Williams. But if you're going back and forth between, you know, Colby Smith and D'Angelo Williams, I think that's an entirely different story.
Yes, sir, and we mentioned Kyle Orton, or I mentioned him as a good bye week fill-in this week. He heads into Washington to take on the hapless Redskins, who are just one of the NFL debacles, and we'll see who inherits that position as Jim Zorn takes one step closer towards the exit sign each and every week. To break down the fantasy stud dozen sleepers, though, is the good Reverend Ralph Mancini.
Denver at Washington. I like Brandon Marshall in this game. Look, he's the type of big athletic receiver that Kyle Orton likes to throw to over the middle on those short routes. Brandon Marshall had 11 receptions for 112 yards versus Pittsburgh. Look for number 15 to be a big target in the red zone. And I am not worried about D'Angelo Hall being in his ear all day. I think Marshall is just going to flatten him like a mosquito. I also like the Broncos' defense in this one. Don't be discouraged by the fact that Denver has given up 28 and 30 points over the past 2 weeks. This week they face an anemic Redskins attack that ranks 29th in points scored with 14 per game. Look, Jason Campbell can be forced into mistakes as we've seen in the past. And no Clayton Portis will hurt the Redskins on the blitz pickup. The dud here, look, everybody's talking about Liddell Betts this, Liddell Betts that. I don't like Liddell Betts. I don't like his offense. Look, he missed 2 days of practice with a bulky ankle. Washington's not going to put up a lot of points. The Broncos should be able to put 8 in the box with really no threats in the passing game for the Redskins. And on top of that, expect to see Rock Cartwright and Quentin Ganther also get a few carries for Washington. The sleeper here is Karell Buckhalter. You know, Denver hasn't run the ball too well over the past two games, but Buckhalter looks more explosive, decisive, and even faster than No'Shawn Moreno right now. And Washington's offense cannot stay on the field, which should create many opportunities for Buckhalter to gain yards. Again, look, I don't like Washington in this game. I think Denver wins this easily, 23-9.
Yep, I think another twist and turn of the dagger is how I would phrase it. Ross, Kurt Warner or Big Ben this week?
Nice choice. I'd probably trade one of those guys. I'd go with Kurt Warner today. I think he's going to have a huge day.
Okay, and it looks like you have some news there on Joey Porter.
Yeah, NFL Network just posted it up there. He has gone from starting to the bench and is now inactive for the Dolphins today. Sparano, not messing around.
Well, there you have it. We reported about it earlier. Joey Porter, you know, who knows, may have played his last game as a Miami Dolphin. Let's go over to the Thrilla in Manila. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. 1-7, taking on the Oakland Raiders, 2-6, battle for the first pick in the NFL draft. Take it away, Rostradamus, and rub those crystal balls.
Oh, what a doubleheader. I had Tennessee, Buffalo, now Kansas City, Oakland, baby. Look, it's really hard to find something here as far as a stud goes, and I came to the conclusion that there just aren't any in this game. Look, Dwayne Bowe is the one player that has, you know, potential to do anything in this game. He's targeted an awful lot lately. And, you know, if this Chris Chambers thing isn't a fluke, maybe the defense is going to have to rotate one of the nine guys they put on Bo over to Chambers. But I don't see it happening. I think last week was a fluke. I don't really see anyone in this game getting really anything done offensively. So there's a lot of room for duds in this game. And, look, I'm going to have to go with Fargus and McFadden as duds in this game. I don't know what's going to happen as far as timeshare goes in this one. McFadden's going to be somewhat useful, but all that means is that he's going to take away enough carries from Fargus to make them both fantasy busts this week. I don't like either one of them. Look, and there wasn't a lot to start with in Oakland, and if you're going to have to chop up that very small offensive pie, that doesn't bode well for either one. I think Jamaal Charles would be a good play here, but, you know, he needs more than six carries, so I can't go with him either. I just think this game is a fantasy disaster from an offensive perspective. I don't see how Kansas City's a passing team now. I don't know what's going on with either of these teams. Look, if you need a deep sleeper in this game, I'd go with my man Colby Smith. I think he's going to be the goal line back for the Chiefs, and I think, you know, he may have six carries for 16 yards, but he could sneak a touchdown, and that touchdown could make him the best fantasy player in this game. I can't stand this game. This is a 13-9 game if I ever saw one.
I hope this is one of those blacked out games, because nobody, not even a Chiefs or Raiders fan, should be forced to watch this one.
It'll be 41-40.
Yeah. Before we move on, guys, we had a question about return of the Mac, Darren McFadden. I'll start with you, Ross, since this is your game. What kind of impact does he make not only this week but for the rest of the season? Here's a guy we've had high expectations for the last couple of seasons. Hasn't really produced, but hasn't exactly been used in the right way. How do you see these last 8 weeks unfolding?
Well, that's not surprising that he hasn't been used in the right way. I mean, really, does anyone have any confidence that Oakland's doing what they should be doing in any area? I mean, look who they have at quarterback, and they trot him out there every week. It's not exactly inspiring trust for me that they know what they're doing with the rest of their team. But, yeah, I think this week you might want to wait and see with McFadden, you know, the knee, and I don't know. I think they're going to take their time. He's got to get back into game shape. I mean, he hasn't played in a while. So I think Fargus is going to get the bulk of the carries for the next couple weeks. But I think as you approach your fantasy football playoffs, you know, McFadden might end up being a sneaky play. I love his skills. I think next year he'll bust out when they have a legitimate head coach there, if anyone decides that they can deal with Al Davis and coaches that team. But for the next couple weeks, I would take a wait-and-see approach. But I would not get rid of him. And if he's available via trade or even by some miracle of the waiver wire, I would snag him up and stash him on my bench and wait to see how he plays before maybe thinking about using him as a flex for a playoff drive.
Okay, Joseph Addai, Ricky Williams. I would go Joseph Addai myself this week. I think the Reverend would probably tell you Ricky Williams.
No, I would go with Addai myself. I would go with a lot of guys in that Colts offense over anybody.
Have it. We got to keep it moving. Ross, you mentioned a potential sleeper in McFadden late in the year. Seattle has one of those too, Ralph. Lewis Rankin, who might not get carries last week or this week, but towards that stretch run, he might. And the Seahawks are traveling into Arizona with that Beanie Wells, Tim Hightower committee. That's a hot topic in the chat room. Why don't you break this one down for the people now, Rev?
You have to go with Kurt Warner as your number one stud. Had five touchdowns last week. Now goes up versus a middle-of-the-road pass defense. Warner did all his damage without Bolden in the lineup and is now on pace for 30 touchdowns and over 4,300 yards. I also like Nate Burleson in this game. He was thrown to nine times last week. Plus, he's averaging over five receptions a week over the past four games. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is a boom or bust cornerback, and the Cardinals safeties, Adrian Wilson, Antrell Rowe, are banged up and they're a little slow. I think Burleson's a safe pick here. The dud is Julius Jones. Yes, he did have 78 yards receiving last week versus Detroit, but he was held to 36 yards on 16 carries on the ground. Arizona has a much better defense than Detroit, and in his last game versus the Red and White, Jones gained only 5 yards on five carries. JJ might have a nice game here and there, but you cannot rely on him. the sleeper here, we mentioned him before, Chris Wells. If you watch him play, you'll see that Beanie is running better and harder each and every week. He's an explosive runner who's in an offense that can move the ball. There's lots of upside here. Take a chance with Chris Beanie Wells. The score here, Arizona 31, Seattle 17.
Yeah, I don't think that comes to a surprise of anyone. We're going to keep it moving. Dallas at Green Bay. We'll discuss the Green Bay defense and how they match up against the Dallas offense. To break down the entire game is Rostradamus, Ross Mandel.
37 sacks given up by Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Got to scare any Packer fan. Look, I think the guy, Aaron Rodgers, basically has proved that he gets slaughtered, holds on to the ball too long. But when you look at the stats at the end of the game, he's got solid fantasy numbers, even when he doesn't play particularly well. So I like Aaron Rodgers a lot today. I also happen to like Tony Romo today. I think he's a good start. I think Jason Witten probably emerges, ends up having a top five tight end day. You know, I know Tampa Bay made plays against the Dallas pass defense, so I think it's pretty safe to assume – I'm sorry, against the Green Bay pass defense. So I think it's pretty safe to assume that Driver and Austin are must starts. But I think teams are now figuring out Miles Austin, and they're realizing that they just can't leave out their defenders out there. So he's not going to go for that 180 and two touchdowns every week. But I think he'll certainly improve upon his yardage, at least from last week. The dud in this game, look, I saw this conversation going on in the chat room, and I'm agreeing with a lot of what I saw there. I'm not liking the Marion Barber setup right now, guys. I think when you see Tashard Choice running out of that Wildcat, that can't make you feel good as a Marion Barber owner. And he's coming in, you know, in the fourth quarter. He's got a little juice left, but he's not a reliable fantasy back like everybody thought he was going to be at the beginning of the year. And that's because teams don't care about fantasy football. They care about winning. And by using all three of their backs, although Felix Jones wasn't used very much, I think Dallas has a better chance to win. And Tashard Choice has done nothing but produce and do everything that's asked of him when he plays, so you can't keep him off the field. And that does not bode well for MB3 owners. Look, I think a sleeper in this game is the Dallas defense. And, you know, you might think this is going to be a really high-scoring game, and that might be the case. But there are sacks and there are turnovers to be had, no matter how many points are going to be scored in this game, because basically Aaron Rodgers gets sacked all the time. He throws picks, and, you know, it doesn't matter how many yards that your defense gives up. There's going to be sacks and turnovers in this game. I like Dallas's defense better than, say, Philadelphia or Atlanta today, so I think they're a legit sleeper. You know, if you have the Giants D, I think you can safely go with the Dallas Cowboys today. And, guys, I like the Cowboys to win this game 31-24. I'm not buying the Packers anymore. I'm done.
Wow. Okay. That could kill the Packers' playoffs hopes. We're going to I know there's some questions going on in the chat room. I'm going to do my best to help chime in and answer them. We want to make sure we get all our games in. So the Eagles at Chargers, Ralph, take that one.
Yeah, sunny San Diego. Let's go with Brent Celek as my stud. Not only has he scored in each of his last two games, but San Diego cannot defend the tight end, giving up the third most fantasy points to that position. Celek is a smart route runner who will improvise when necessary to get open. And I also like Brian Westbrook this week. He's ready to go versus a soft Charger run defense. Ranked 26 versus the run. They're giving up 130 rushing yards per game. San Diego is particularly vulnerable in allowing running backs to gain yardage in the passing game. And, of course, start all key members of the San Diego passing game, Rivers, V-Jax, and Gates. The dud here, look, I'm going to be a little controversial. I don't like Donovan McNabb. He's an unreliable guy. He's bringing his team down with his inaccuracy. He takes too long to pull the trigger. And oftentimes, he's been off the mark on 8 to 10-yard pass plays, missing wide-open receivers. And on top of that, San Diego is fifth versus the pass. They can get after the quarterback. If I were a Philly fan, I'd start campaigning for Kevin Cobb right now. The sleeper, Malcolm Floyd, he's a boomer-bust guy who can get open deep. He has the size to make plays in the red zone and in the goal line areas. He's a high upside player. I like San Diego playing at home. 30-24.
Okay, moving right along. In my opinion, the game of the week, Ross, New England.
Oh, yes.
Indianapolis.
Yes.
take it away.
You can't argue with this one. What a great matchup. I think it's going to be a bit more lower scoring than most people think, but again, you got the triplets for each team. Brady Moss and Welker, Manny Clark and Wayne. Well, I have a little problem with how New England covers tight ends. I don't think Dallas Clark's going to have 150 catches or whatever he did last week. I like Joseph Addai in this game. I know the Rev mentioned him earlier. I don't see Donald Brown playing a big part in this game. I think he's going to be brought back very slowly. And regardless of what you think about Joseph Addai, the guy has totaled double digits in fantasy points in 7 out of 8 games. Look, I don't think he's going to have a huge game, but I think he's certainly worth a fantasy start this week. My duds this week, and sorry, Taz, I don't like Austin Colley or Pierre Garçon these days. Garçon's dropping passes. Colley really hasn't done much since the bye in week 6. I'm not saying they're useless, but I think they're now very distant third and fourth choices for Peyton Manning now, much more so separation at 3-4 than was a couple weeks ago. And I don't think there's going to be as much scoring as people think. This is not going to be a 38-35 game, in my opinion. I think also both defenses are not worth plays today. I don't like it at all. I think the sleeper here is Lawrence Maroney. I like what I saw last week. He scored 3 times in his last 3 games, as I mentioned earlier. I see no reason he's not going to score again against a mediocre Colts run defense. I think, 65, 75 yards and a touchdown is a fair assessment from him. And I think, to me, that's worth a flex start. And, guys, I'm going with the Colts, 31-24.
Ralph, you got a winner here?
Yeah.
Oh, also, Rev, before you give that, for your weekly New England Patriots deep sleeper, those of you who picked up Sam Aiken when he scored that ridiculous touchdown, I'm going to give you Isaiah Standback. That's right. Brandon Tate on IR, Edelman still hurt, Isaiah Standback activated off the practice squad. He's going to shake loose for a touchdown today. Write it down.
Woo! I like New England in this game. I think Tom Brady bounces back here, and I think he's going to have a really nice game.
I think New England's motivated and ready. I like the Pats as well. And we're going to bring it all home with the closer. No, it's not Mariano Rivera. It's the good Reverend Ralph Mancini to talk about the Baltimore Ravens at the Cleveland Bengals Browns.
Yeah, I'm going to go through this real quick here. You want to start Ray Rice. You want to start Joe Flacco. They're your top two studs here. Ray Rice is on pace for 2,000 all-purpose yards, 12 touchdowns. Cleveland cannot stop anybody, ranked 31st versus the run. Joe Flacco, he's got a great matchup here. When he's got the good matchup, you always go with him. The dud here is Jamal Lewis. Look, he's not making anybody miss. He's going up against a Ravens defense that is still a top 10 unit versus the run. The sleeper here, I have two of them, Mark Clayton and Kelly Washington for the Ravens. Cleveland doesn't have enough talent to keep all of Baltimore's receivers in check. Clayton is always a threat to make a deep play. And in this last game, Washington versus Cleveland had about 5 receptions, 66 yards. I like Baltimore going away in this one, 33-12.
Well, that about wraps it up. Another 90 minutes down the drains. Tony Sincotta coming up at 10 a.m. We are Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. For more from those guys, check out the NFL's RaftBible.com during the week, and we'll catch you next week. We're going to drop it like it's hot, like Manny Pacquiao.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Ready for this? Woo. I like to move it, move it. Woo. I like to move it, move it. Woo. I like to move it, move it. Woo. Yeah, move it. Woo. I like to move it, move it. Woo. I like to move it, move it. Woo. I like to move it, move it. Dip it up, go.
Welcome to the big show.
Simply,
wait.